Matthew chapter 5 tonight. And we know that Jesus has called those that love him to be lights in darkness. I don't think we have to spend a whole lot of time to figure out what the light is and figure out what the darkness is. Look outside in Killeen or any city or any town in America, and you will see darkness there. Look any place in the world, and you will see darkness there because of man's sin. And we are to be a light to the lost, but also a light to the saved as well. But how do we make that light shine? How do we have that light shine out of us? How do we exercise that? Because maybe we hear sermons on that. We need to let your light shine, but we ask, how do I do that? How do I let my light shine? We're going to look at some biblical examples of that. What does letting your light shine look like? Now, the world today is trying to condition Christians into not letting their light shine. No one wants to see what Jesus has done for you. They try and deceive us into thinking. But you know what? This world needs Christians who let their light shine. And we're going to have to take a look at our lives tonight and how we interact with those around us. The people we interact with at church or at home or at work or even strangers that we meet along the way. Do we let our light shine unto men? If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 14. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that we would be instructed in how we can let the light shine that you have given to us. I pray tonight that we be not ashamed of what you've done for us, that we not be ashamed of your glorious gospel, that we not be ashamed to be a Christian. But Lord, I pray that in the church and also outside, dear Lord, that we would let our light shine, the light that you have given to us, the grace that you've given to us, the love that you have given to us. I pray that you guide and direct us tonight and challenge us, Lord. Show us, Lord, where maybe the devil has made us afraid or made us ashamed. I pray that we would take care of those things tonight. Encourage us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's okay to let your light shine. Now, last week we looked at it's okay to say amen. Amen. And especially in church, it's okay also to let your light shine. And there's things that the devil and the world try and condition us into thinking that it's not okay to be a Christian. That it's not okay. They call people that, you know, let their light shine or let it know they're Christian. Oh, they're just pious goody two shoes. We don't need people like that. And we have this idea that if we let our light shine, that people are going to ridicule us, that people are going to kick us out in the street, that we're going to be burned up the stake down in the center of Killeen, and that it's just going to be a terrible thing if we let our light shine. We're going to be persecuted. Well, you might. Or you might just impact so many lives that you couldn't believe it. So tonight, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. Now, we look in verse 14 that ye are the light of the world. And we said, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was the light of the world. He was while he was in the world. John explains that. But when he went away, that we are to reflect what Christ has done for us. We are the little lights in the world. We are to be little Christs, little lights that are reflecting what God has done for us. And we have the Holy Spirit of God in our heart. We have light and truth, and we are to shine it forth. And verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That doesn't make any sense, does it? To hide it. Light a candle, then hide it? You know, then why did you even light the candle? Or, was the last part of the verse? Neither, and verse, second part of the verse, verse 14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, just imagine trying to hide all of Killeen. All the lights are on. I don't know if you ever come into Killeen from Belton, coming down the hill. You see Killeen all out in front of you, and you see all the lights at night. Imagine saying, you know what? We don't want all the lights on. We're going to try and hide it. Why? You want light so people know where your city is, right? No one's going to move to your city if it's all dark all the time. No one's going to want to live there. And there's so many Christians today that have this idea that they let their light shine at church, and then as soon as they walk out these doors, they have to hide it under a bushel. Sometimes they even hide it under a bushel in church even. So how do we avoid that? This is a command of Christ. He said, let your light so shine before man. You are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, what is light? Now, as a pastor, we're really going to get that basic. Yes, we are. What is light? For some, the best definition of light is the absence of darkness. Some people say, well, darkness is the absence of light. Well, what do we know about light? It has a source. If we have a source of lighting, we have these wonderful fluorescent lights in here. We have wonderful source of light. When we go outside in the daytime, we have the sun to rule the day, and it is a source of light. At night, not all the time, if there's cloud cover, we don't see it, but there's the stars provide light. The moon provides light, the lesser light to rule the night as God created it. There is a source of light. And when our homes, we have source of light. We have flashlights on our cell phones now. You know, you don't need to carry those little lights on your keychain anymore. You have them in your cell phone now, unless you have too low battery, and then you always hate being in that situation. You don't have a flashlight because your battery's too low. But we have emergency candles or emergency flashlights in our homes now, being just in case the source of power for those lights goes out. But we all have lights in our homes. We have lights in our cars so we can see where we're going at night. A good thing when you're going 70 miles an hour, I think, that you can see where you're going. Light has a source. And what are some of the characteristics? Well, one of the main things, it makes us able to see. It makes us to be able to see. If there is no light, it is dark, and our eyes cannot see. We can't see what's 2 feet in front of us. Have you ever been in a really dark night? You could not literally see 2 feet in front of you. Have you been there? Yeah, it's dark. I'll never forget. It was wintertime when I was growing up, and it was very cloudy that night. It was winter. We had a snowstorm coming in, and there was no moon. There was no stars. And I was out in a part of our driveway. It was pitch black. And I'll tell you what, when it gets that black, your imagination starts playing tricks on you. It's always just something inside. There's something out there that's going to get me. There's this wolf waiting to get me or something. You know, and that's what we feel sometimes. But imagine that pitch, dark blackness that is out there. Do we realize that's where the world lives? They live in darkness like that. Day to day, not one ray of light until you come into their life. That's why we need to be lights in this world. We're going to get to that in a minute. Well, light makes us able to see. It also reveals details. When we shine the light of God's Word, the Word of God, truth is called light. And that God's Word is truth. It is a light to light our path and to show us where we need to go. And also, it's a light into our heart to show us our sin at times. To show us, to illuminate decisions, to illuminate a direction. It reveals details. But something about light that we don't usually see, those are all things about that center around us. But in pitch darkness, you know what light enables us to see? It enables us to see other people as well. Enables us to see other people. You know what? When we're lost in darkness of our sin, we don't see other people. We see us. We see ourselves. But as Christians, not only do we see as an individual, we see other people. And tonight, I want us to think about that. We need to let our light shine, and we need to see other people. Now, we have no natural light in ourselves. I saw a billboard for a school going down Stan's Luther. I think it was a school right here, the public school. And it said this, let your inner light shine, right? Motivational speaking, right? Let your inner light shine, and everything will be just fine, right? I hate to break it to you, we have no natural light. There is no light in us. There's nothing that glows within us. We have no natural spark of good. That's what people do to soothe their conscience. All that is in us is darkness. Sin has darkened us. Look at Matthew chapter 6, just over one page. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And what is that talking about, that light be darkness? People think they have seen the light, they have seen the light of truth, but then they find out that it's false. And if we think that is light, how great is the darkness? What is the bad things, the dark things, the empty things that people have? Sin has darkened us. Man was created in the light of God, in the light of this world, perfect and holy, and everything was very good, but the shadow of sin descended upon mankind because of Adam's sin. And ever since then, our hearts were in the natural state of man, our hearts and our minds is darkness. And we see that from the time after the fall into the time of the flood, that the thoughts of man was evil continually. Well, it was darkness. It was vile. And that's man's natural state. Go down to downtown at night and you'll see the darkness of man. And you know what? We take a look at that and we view it many times the way the world views it. Well, that is just the bad side of society and of humanity. No, that's the natural state of humanity. That's its natural state. And, you know, but they think, well, we're better up here. We're rich and you know, we do all these things and, you know, we're okay. You know, if you look at both sides, you look at the, we consider them the worst side of society. I'm not saying that, but that's what in our culture we say. You know, people that, you know, work the streets and do drugs and things like that. But you know what the rich people do? They drink. They just do it in a socially acceptable way. They do drugs too, but they do it in a socially acceptable way. They commit immorality too, but they do it in a more socially acceptable way. They do all the same things those other people do. They're just as dark, even though, hey, we have seen the light. They've deceived themselves. Just because they have money, they do it in a little bit of a different way, but still the same things. We have to understand that. And as Christians, there was a time when we knew we were in darkness and that the light of Jesus Christ shone into our life. Jesus Christ is the light that shone upon the darkness of our heart. Look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2. And that our darkness, we were in darkness, but the light of Jesus Christ and the light of His glorious gospel shone into our life. And we saw our need. We saw true hope. For the first time for many people, when they hear the gospel, it's the first time they've had any shred of hope in their life. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And that is Jesus Christ. They were dwelling in the valley of the shadow of death. No hope, no way to get out in total and utter darkness, but the light of Jesus Christ shone upon them. And that was us before we got saved. That's where we were. We were in darkness, and the light of the gospel, we were listening to preaching, or we had heard the gospel, we were reading the tract, and the light shone into our heart, and we said, that is what I want. That is what I need. I need Jesus Christ. Amen. Every single person in here today, if you're truly converted, you saw the light of Jesus Christ, you saw your darkness, and you repented of your sin, and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's if you're truly saved. Well, that's not what happened to me. Then you're not saved. That's not what the Bible says. We have to understand that we're dark. We're not naturally good. We're naturally evil. So when we understand light and darkness, that helps us understand what Jesus has done for us. The light of Jesus Christ, it revealed our sin. It revealed our need. It revealed what we needed to do. Wonderful day it was when the light shone upon us and we accept the light of the world. Look at John chapter 8 and verse number 12. A promise given by Jesus Christ himself. He said, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8 verse number 12. One of the I am statements he made. Then spake Jesus again unto them saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. The light of life, not walk in darkness. So that's why it says in 1 John, if we say that we love the Lord and we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Because Jesus clearly said, if you're a Christian and you're walking with me, you're not going to be in the darkness of sin. You're not going to be walking over there. So people say, well, I can do what I want. I can be right with God or deceived. They're not telling the truth because Jesus said, if you follow me, I am not going to lead you anywhere near the darkness because He is light and He is truth. Jesus is not going to lead you down to the shadowy part of town to hang out with your friends. Amen? He's not going to do that. He's not going to lead you down to go clubbing with your buddies and, well, I don't drink. It doesn't matter. That's a dark place. It's sin. That's why we don't go to the places of darkness. Why? Because we follow Jesus. We should want to stay away from the dark places. Because that's what we used to be, and we don't want to be that way anymore. Because we have seen the light. You know, I know we the song that maybe some of you know, it's not a good one. You know, I saw the light. You know that one? If you didn't know, that's a pastor, you know that. Yes, I do know that one. But we're moving on from that. But it's true, when we saw the light of who? Jesus Christ. Have you accepted the light of the world? If you can tonight, if you have not. You can accept him if you're watching the stream tonight. If you have not accepted the light of this world, Jesus Christ, simply trust in him to take your sin away. Realize your sin is sent. We're sending you to a place called hell, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And you know what the Bible says? We think hell, a flame, is a place of light. It isn't. It says out in outer darkness. Hell is also a place of darkness. Because God, Jesus Christ, is not there. Now, true, that if David did say, if he descended to the deepest parts of hell, behold, thou art there. God is everywhere. I understand that. But it's a place of judgment. And if God says it's a place of darkness, no light. No light. That's where your sin is sending you. Repent of your sin. Trust in Christ as your Savior. Trust the light of this world to take your sin away. If you have received the light of the world, you are to be the light of God in this world. Now let's look back at Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Why would you want to hide it? Why would you want to? You have found truth and light. Why would you want to hide it? Some people want to. Why would you want to hide it? We should want to show forth what God has done in our life. But some people don't want to shine forth their light because they don't have any light to shine. Because they've gone to church all their life. They've grown up in a Christian home sometimes, or maybe not. They just go to church. They've reformed, but they've not been regenerated by Jesus Christ. They come and they do their religious, pious things, and that's great. But if they're not saved, it doesn't matter. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as the light of your life, and as the true Savior of your soul, it doesn't matter how much you try and come. But they said, I don't understand what it is to be a light of the world. And you know, sometimes I've had someone ask that one time when I was in college. Is I don't understand what it means to be a light in this world. I don't understand. How do I do that? I don't understand that. And you know, my friend was with me. He said, you're not saved then. And you know, but I was wondering in my heart. I said, I don't know either. And I wasn't saved at the time. What does that mean? That means we go out and witness. That's part of it. But that's far from all of it. You know, we think that being a light in this world, we just need to go out and we need to hand out tracts and knock on doors. That's part of being a light in this world, yes, but it's so much more than that. It is living your life as a light. So how do we shine? Well, we're to be like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why are we the lights of the world? Because we reflect Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit of God in our heart. We have light from God himself. But where do we shine? Well, first of all, we're a place that we're supposed to shine. We're supposed to shine everywhere, but a place that we're very comfortable shining is at church. Now, letting your light shine is not just putting on a plastic smile four times a week. I'm excited to be a Christian. I'm here. I'm excited. And I'm at church. Praise God. Hallelujah, Pastor. And then you walk out and the final smile goes away. You take it out and you put it on the plastic frowny face the rest of the week. You know, letting it be seen. What is shining as a light? Letting it be seen that Christ has saved you and changed you by walking in the Spirit, by letting the fruit of God show forth in your life, but that will lead you to actions inside the house of God. Letting your light shine is not just standing there and saying, I'm a light. It has actions that go with it. One of them, look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, is friendliness. Friendliness. You know, when we talk about our testimony and we talk about being lights, it's our testimony, it's everything, it's our whole lifestyle. The Bible calls it our conversation, that are what people see about us. And you know, it's interesting if you think about it, that it says our conversation. You know that people have conversations about your lifestyle? They say, hey, look at this guy. Look at this lady. Look at this individual over here. And, you know, they go to church and they go to that church over there, that tabernacle church, whatever that is over there. You know, people don't know what tabernacle is, but they guess what? They go to that Baptist church over there and everything. And you know what? Do you realize that every place you go, you're representing Tabernacle Baptist Church? That everywhere you go, you're representing Jesus Christ? Now, I don't know about you, but if we went to a restaurant and, you know, we were looking for a good place to work, or we're looking at a place, maybe as some kind of business, and we were looking for a job, so you know what? I'm going to go look for a job. And you go and visit different places, and you go to the one restaurant. Maybe you go to McDonald's or somewhere like that. You go to McDonald's there, and, you know, some McDonald's are great, but the ones around here. Anyway, so we go to McDonald's, and we stand there, and we're talking to somebody, and we're like, hey, I wanted to order something, and they're standing there on their phone. Oh, hi. Oh, just a minute. And that's not a far stretch of what happens around here sometimes. But, you know, doing that, and, oh, and, hey, you know, by the way, and they finally get to you and everything, you make your order, so... Well, you know, how do you like working here? Well, it's okay. You know, we don't get enough lunch breaks. You know, and the food stinks. I wouldn't eat here. You know, it's all right. So how many of you are going to go and you're going to put an application right away to work at this place? Nobody, right? And then you go over, well, I'm going to try a new place. I'm going to try Chick-fil-A. How many like Chick-fil-A? You like Chick-fil-A? Those people are always so nice over there. Now, there's a couple of times and we met a couple of interesting people, but most of the time they're over there great. And you know what? You ask them, you know, hey, how are you doing today? Is there anything I can get for you? And you get it and everything. So how do you like? Well, I love working here. Such great people. I have great bosses. They care about me. Man, I just love working here. I'd work here forever. You know, how many of you are going to say, this is the place I want to work? And you're going to put an application, and you say, I want to work here. And you know what? It depends on how we let our light shine, whether or not people we know want to come to church here. Amen? If you're down all the time, you're falling to pieces all the time, and you're grouchy all the time, and you're not talking one bit about Jesus Christ, like, well, that's some kind of church they go to. I don't want to go to that place. If people come out looking like that, right? And I don't think anybody would want to. You know what? Oh, what do you learn at that church? I don't know. We have church. You know, what do you learn there? About the Bible. Well, what about the Bible? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That's about all we get out of it. Why? Because we sit here and we think on other things. And we don't pay attention and we don't study. Or you're not here. That's what happens. Or you're not here to hear the Word of God. You know what people say? You know, I don't want to go to a church like that. But we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Friendliness, especially inside the church, to those that we know. You know what? Someone told me, it was a while ago, and like, hey, you know, I really don't know anybody in the church. And this is sometimes happens to people. It was a long time ago. Not anybody recent. No one that's here tonight, okay? I'm just asking, I'm just letting you know. It was a long time ago. It's like, well, I don't know anybody in the church. I've been here 6 months, and I don't know anybody. And I just said to this individual, you want to know why you don't know anybody? You do not go anywhere past here or here. You stay right here. Handshake time. Don't come to my pew. Don't come to my pew. Don't come to... Oh, someone's at my pew. Right? And there's always people like that. But you know what? Shake someone's hand. Maybe you're a germaphobe. Use hand sanitizer. It's okay. Be friendly. Say, hey, how you doing today? I'm glad to see you. It makes you feel good. Let your light shine. Is it that simple? It isn't that simple, but that's part of it. To those that we know, but also to strangers. You know what? This is where we have to be careful. You know, James tells us we're not to be a respecter of persons because God isn't. You know, people that walk in, they walk in with a suit. They walk in and they pull up in the Porsche. And when they pull up, they have four kids in the car. Well, if they had a Porsche, they have four kids. But, you know, they have like the two kids that come in. They're wearing the nice suit. They're like, oh, I'm a lawyer, so-and-so. Oh, welcome to Tabernacle Baptist Church. Come right here. You're like, tither. No, we shouldn't think that way, by the way. but we do sometimes. And, you know, we're tempted. Oh, yes, we want to come in. Oh, what do you want to do? You know, we want to be part of our church. Please, 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 please. But then we have someone that rocks up and pulls up in a rattle-trap car, comes in, smell like they haven't had a shower in a week, and they just kind of teeter on in here. And we go, oh, who's that? I might catch something if I go and shake their hand. You know what? You should be probably more friendly to them because they need something. Amen? They need you to shine the light of God in their life. You know why they're here? Because they're looking for something. And if they come and sit in this pew right here, and two people, myself, Brother Hammonds and Mrs. Hammonds, they shake everybody's hand. Praise the Lord. But if we're the only three people that ever said a word to them, guess what? They're going to say, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me, because his people sure don't. We're God's people. That's letting your light shine or not shine in God's house. Friendliness. Being glad to see somebody. But Pastor, they've got problems. So do you. We're not immune from problems. You say, praise the Lord, glad that you're... And you know what? We don't really have a problem with that. We have in the past, but we don't have a problem with that. People are friendly. I mean, almost too friendly. You know, sometimes, you know, we have six people. I mean, I was standing there one time saying hi. We had like eight people. Hey, how you doing? Glad you're here. How are you doing today? And they're like, whoa, man. They said, you have a friendly church. Like, yes, we do. We're really glad that you're here. Now, we shouldn't be so friendly. We seem desperate. But, you know, we should be friendly, though. Be nice to people. And they like that. Guess what? People come back. They said, those people actually care about me. We should be friendly to the healthy, to the spiritually sick. But also, we need to be friendly. We need to be true friends. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. True friends. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesimus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. He was his friend. He helped him. Onesimus let his light shine in Paul's life as a fellow Christian and wasn't ashamed that he was a prisoner for Christ. You know what? If we get into trouble sometimes, and maybe it's a persecution, someone gossips about or lies about us unjustly, a true friend will stay true to us. But those people, oh, well. Well, I'm not going to be, I'm just going to stand over here because they're unclean. That's proud and an arrogant stance to take. We need to be true friends. Whether they're doing right or doing wrong, we need to be true friends to people. Also, not only to be friendly, we're to edify. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Edify means building up, like building a wall, brick by brick by brick. A wall with someone in someone's life is not built overnight. And people's lives, they have walls around their life, and they have need to be built up in the faith, line upon line, precept upon precept. And the way we do that is encouraging people, edifying people. There are some people that have the gift of edification. Brother Starr, he has the gift of edification. You know, if you're feeling down, you don't feel down when you get off the phone with him. He just encourages you and says, you're doing great, the Lord's using you. And you know, it's exciting. I like talking to him. You know what? If you're like that person, people like to talk to you. Because you just build them up and you encourage them. Ephesians 4, verse number 12, tells us this is a responsibility has to be done inside the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Sorry, I was down in verse 29, but that's a good verse too. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, especially in God's house. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You shouldn't be tearing someone down, you should be building them up. We shouldn't be tearing someone else down, we need to be building them up. And the more people that are building the wall, the faster they're built up. You know why we think, well, that's just one person's job in the church. Every Christian needs to be an edifier. Everyone needs to build up. Well, that's just not my thing. Well, make it your thing. God can use you in that. Make it, if you know God's truth, you can encourage somebody. They're going through a hard time. Well, I just don't know what to say. Join the club. Amen? I mean, there are things that someone's going through. They call us up on the phone. I have not one clue what to tell them. My wife and we have no clue what to tell people. We're like, we didn't know, we're like, Lord, what do we do? But you know what? His word always is true. And his word is always the answer. And you build people up that way. Not only through edification, but helping people as well. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 14. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. So these ones, they helped Paul. They helped in the ministry. They helped in any way that they could. Great or small, they helped. Helping out in the house of God is part of letting your light shine. Showing that you care about God's house, that you care about God's work. And say, well, I can take the load off of somebody, I can help somebody out. And also not only that, but outside the church, we need to be willing to be helpers. But also look at Proverbs 27:17, and that we're to help instruct people, and we're to help sharpen their countenance. That's what Proverbs 27:17 tells us. And that people who are friends, by the way, well, I'm friends with some people in the church. Let me tell you something. If they're saved, they need to be your friend. Amen? If we're all in the family of God, we all need to be friends with one another. I understand we're so closer friends with other people, but guess what? You need to be a friend to everyone, not just the people that you like. You need to be a friend to everyone. The house of God is no place for a clique. Well, I only like certain people at church. No, you need to like everybody. Why? Their personality rubs me the wrong way. Well, you probably rub people the wrong way too. But they still like you. We're still saved. Amen. We're still on our way to heaven. I think that was the best amen we've had in a while. That was great. But, well, they're not doing right. They still need to be edified. They still need to be, you know what? If they're destroying their life, how about you go to them as their friend and say, I'm really concerned about you. The Bible says this. Will you please turn from this? Please. Not in a judgmental way, but in tears and in weeping. So please turn from this. Can't tell how many times I've had to do that with people. Go to their home and plead with them not to go into a life of sin. And plead with them. Sometimes they listen, sometimes not. Well, what's the use anyway? Letting your light shine is important. We need to make sure that we're letting our light shine in the house of God. And you know what? Usually we have less trouble letting out our light shine in the house of God because it's a natural place. We're among friends here. We're among people that are like mind here. But the problem is when we get outside, we get in our car, and we veil what God is doing in our life. And you wonder why you're miserable all week long until you get back to church. You let your light shine. You know what? Letting your light shine makes you joyful. And when you're ashamed of what God has done for you, it brings something into your life that is sin. Now, let's look at shining in the world. Now, going back to our passage, look at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16. Now, this is a statement. This isn't an option. This is a statement from God to us of who we are. Ye are the light of the world. Well, I don't want to be. I don't want to be a light. I didn't ask to be a light. Let other people be a light. I have a question for you. Are you saved? We should want to show people what God has done for us. If you don't have a reality of what God has done for you in saving you from the pit of hell, and you don't want to show it to somebody else, there's something wrong. Either you're not truly saved, or you're backslidden, and you're living in a life of sin. And you don't want to get rid of your sin so you can be a light. Like a beacon of hope to those who are in need. Like we sing songs about the lighthouse. You know what? That lighthouse has to be run by somebody. Has to be operated by somebody, and the lighthouses back in the day, you know what? They were lit by a candle that was put through a series of mirrors to shine it forth so people, the sailors, could see. And the keeper of the lighthouse had to make sure that that light shone. Even in the midst of storms, he had to make sure that candle didn't go out. You know why? Because he knew sailors' lives were depending on him. People's lives are depending on us. Every single person. Well, I didn't ask for that. God told you. Didn't ask you. He told us. That's our job as Christians. And we will stand before him whether or not we did the right job or not, did a good job or not. We will stand before him. Well, I don't like responsibility. Life is full of responsibility. The Christian life is full of responsibility. Just accept it and praise God you're able to do it. It's a privilege to be able to be that for God. Let your light shine. But how do we let it shine? Well, the same way we do at church. Friendliness. We talk about friendliness. Well, that doesn't just go for what's inside the church. You know, we need to be friendly to people outside the church. But Pastor, people are weird out there. I know. I'm from New York. I think all the Texans are weird. I think so. You know, I just, you know, when I go home, it's a lot easier for me to talk from people back home. I mean, when I went back home, I was just talking to people on the mountain, talking everywhere. But I have to work at talking to people around here because half the time, if they're from the South, I can't understand what they're saying. If they have the real thick accent, see, Brother Ham is Miss Ham. They have the dignified accent. But, I mean, some people, you know, like for a while, Brother Scott, it took me a little bit. No. Yeah, well, and my brother-in-law, Brandon Redden, it took me a long time to understand what he was saying. Sometimes he would say something, and I'm like, I think I understood that. I'm pretty sure. You know, I'll never forget. I mean, I'm just not used to the southern way of talking. I'll never forget. It was my first week at college. I went to Walmart for the first time. And I went to check out at the checkout line, and it was this older lady, probably like 50, and she goes, I don't know, remember the price. I'm just picking a price out here. That would be $13.50, sweetie. I'm like, sweet. I like to step this way. I'm like, what is she saying? I didn't realize that's how people talk, you know, and I'm like maybe super uncomfortable because in New York, we don't talk like that, like $13.50, you know, right? Or they just say, yeah, you can read it, you know, but, you know, that's, you know, we're nice up there, too. But it's just like, there's the way they're talking. I just didn't get it. You know, they're being friendly, right? And we need to be friendly. You know, when we knock on someone's door, hi, I'm from Tabernacle Baptist Church. Do you have a minute? I need to talk to you. I'm busy. No, we need to be friendly. Hey, how you doing tonight? Always try and smile at people. You know, when you smile at them, they're less likely to shut the door in your face. Or they'll do it in a more polite way. You know, and you say, hey, I'm from Tabernacle Baptist Church. How you doing tonight? You know, Brother Hammonds is really great at being friendly. He's a very friendly gentleman and very nice, very good at doing that. But what do we do with friendliness? We talk to strangers. You know what? My grandma was a friendly person. People just love talking to her. My mom has this gift as well. People will just start telling them their life story. We just talked to my grandma. My grandma said hi, and they just start talking about how everything, you know, how they were, you know, their parents died at 2 years old or something, you know, and just tell the whole life story. And my mom many times would tell the whole life story, and then she'd pull out her Gideon New Testament, and she would share some verses with them and encourage them. And I'm like, how do you do that? She goes, I don't know. It just happens to me all the time. I don't know, because my mom showed forth that she cared about people. She really does, and she still does. If we really care about people, people are attracted to that. And you know what? Show them that you really care about them. Don't put the fakeness on. But show them that you really care. You know what? Some people in our generation today, they're so self-absorbed and selfish, it would do us some good to care about somebody else beside ourselves. That is really a danger, and that's a hard thing. And we are raising up right now a very self-absorbed generation. The millennial generation is very selfish and self-absorbed, and they're wondering why they're fleeing from church. Because church doesn't suit them. You know what? We need to be friendly even to them, even though it's hard sometimes. We need to be friendly to even them. Show them that you care. Invite them to come to church. Do we do that? Come and be with me at church this Sunday. Be my special guest. Will you come? You know, we just don't do that for revival time. Or for missions conference. Oh, we'll do that for revival. You're supposed to do that all the time. But they never come. Somebody someday will. If you keep trying. At first you don't succeed, try what? Again and again and again. You know, pester people. Get them to come. Not so they can come and hear me pray, so they can come and hear the word of God. And so they can be saved. That's why we should want them to come to church. pester them in a nice way, in a loving way, but to bring them, have them come in. You know, just don't invite them one time and forget about them. Invite them every time. You know, some people, they invited people 10, 15 years, then they finally came to church and got saved. And they said, thank you for asking me for 15 years to come. And then quit and give up. Well, they'll just never come. Friendliness. You know, people are attracted to people who really care about them. And you'll be surprised, it is staggering how many people have never had anyone truly care about them, not even their parents. It's staggering. That's becoming more and more common that we talk to people and we lead them to the Lord and they tell us, no one has ever truly cared about me or about my soul. I've been on my own since I was 8. Well, I was raised by my grandparents who didn't care about me. All they did was beat me and starve me. You know, we hear that all the time. That's not just some, that's a lot. We hear that over and over and over again from people. And you might be that, if you're letting your light shine, you might be the first person who ever truly cared about them. And that's powerful. And they see the light that you're shining forth. Let it show that Jesus has saved you. Show forth some joy, the peace, the gentleness and long-suffering in the midst of tough situations. Trust me, the co-worker that's at work sees you being unjustly treated by the manager, and they see that you don't respond the way they do or everybody else does, that you respond in grace and gentleness and patience. And they say, you know what, there's something different about them. That's letting your light shine. That your life is not falling apart. That there is hope. Amen. Helping people. Helping people that we know. Helping our neighbors. Being a helping hand. Even strangers. You know, you'd be surprised how many people don't stop to help people on the side of the road anymore. You know what? I'm driving and my wife is with me and we see like this lady on the side of the road with like a flat tire, like no one's stopping. Now, a lot of times we see people, there's someone there, but you know, you're like, oh man, should I go back? And you spend half your time, should I go back and help or things like that? You know, we need to help people. I'll never forget that. This happened many, many times. We lived on the hill, but for some reason, God always sent people to our house, so we lived on the side of the mountain, for people that broke down, because we were the only house on that part of the mountain, so people would come to our house and broke down. We once had a tour bus break down in front of our house. Literally, I mean, a big tour bus. But we had this one time, never forget this one time, there was this lady that had had a flat tire, and she really didn't know what to do, and couldn't, you know, didn't understand, couldn't get her car fixed, her tire had gone flat. So I said, I'll help you. And we went and found out, and that lady had a flat tire, and we found out that the tire shop that she had just been to did not tighten down her lug nuts on her wheels. And literally, her wheels were ready to fly off her car. And so my dad just said, you know what, it's the grace of God that you came to our house. And that we're able to tighten, you know, are you sure that you're going on your way to heaven? My dad just witnessed to her. Because you could have gone off into eternity. I don't know if she got saved or not. I wasn't very old at that time. Then there was other times that people came to our house and asked for help and things like that. One time, my dad's convinced it was an angel because no trace of the person afterwards ever. I mean, the priest that come to tow the car, no trace of the person ever. And so there wasn't anybody here. My dad said, there's just somebody right here, you know. And one of those, and dad, my dad believes to this day that it was an angel that came. And, you know, sometimes I think the Bible says angels unawares. I believe that happens. And God comes to test us to see if we're really going to do what he wants us to do. So, pastor, do you believe that? Absolutely do. Bible said it. So are we letting our light shine? Well, why do people hide their lights, though? And that's all close. Well, the main reason is they're afraid. Many people hide their light because they're afraid. And they're afraid of men. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. They're afraid of men. They're afraid of what people would think. They're afraid of what's going to happen, the consequence, as I mentioned before. We're going to be lynched in the streets if I show that I'm a Christian. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. or to obey God rather than man. We don't need to worry about what men think. In the end, we don't answer to them. We answer to our Heavenly Father. We answer to God. Fear, but also, they say, well, I'm afraid. Well, fear is not the right word. They are ashamed. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Being ashamed is being embarrassed that we're associated with someone for some reason. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So this is Paul speaking. So I am not ashamed, he said in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He is not ashamed. Now, Paul endured beatings, scourgings, persecutions. He endured being lied about. He endured all kinds of false accusations. He endured shipwrecks. He endured imprisonment. And then he was beheaded. And all of that, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, see what happened to Paul? That's going to happen to me. Maybe so, but you know what? He counted an honor that it did. That he was able to suffer for the cause of Christ. Peter suffered for the cause of Christ, and he thought it an honor. All of the early Christians did, but why all of a sudden do we not think it an honor? Because we think too much of ourselves. Is that going to happen to you? It might, but probably not. The worst thing that's ever going to happen to us is that we make somebody upset, that maybe we lose a promotion, or that someone might slam a door in our face. In America, that's sometimes the worst. Now, I'm not saying that is the absolute worst that can happen, but I'm just saying in reality and for most people, that's what happens. Well, I don't want people to know at work that I'm a Christian because then, you know, I might not get that promotion. That's not a job worth having then. If you have to hide your light and hide what Jesus did for you, by the way, you can't hide a city. You can't hide that you're a Christian. You know what people see, the world sees? They see that you're a Christian trying to hide who you are. And then they say, well, you're a hypocrite. And you are. Of what people fear, what people think. Fear, that is not the right word. It's shame. But what would happen if at that time you're hiding your light, you're trying to put it under a bushel? What if at that very moment Jesus Christ decided to come back? At that moment, guess what? You're really going to be ashamed. Not of what man thinks, but you're going to be ashamed because of what you have done in front of your Heavenly Father. And done before Jesus Christ, your Lord. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I think a lot of Christians are going to be ashamed when he comes back because they either don't believe that he's really coming back or that they don't think he's coming back at a later time. Guess what? The Bible is full. He'll come as a thief in the night. And we don't know when he's coming back. He might come back in the next few moments. He might come back in 100 years. We don't know. But we think in our minds, we bank on the 100 years he's coming back. You know what? He's not going to come back in my lifetime. You know, things are lining up. He might come back in my lifetime. I hope he does. You know what? I don't look forward to dying. You know, I hope I just can skip that part like Enoch did and just go up to heaven and be with him. Amen. You know, I don't think any of us look forward to dying. We don't need to fear death. But you know what? If he tarries, that's fine. You know, sometimes I think, Lord, it'd be better if you just came back so my sons don't have to face all this wickedness. Sometimes as a parent, I think that. I say, Lord, I wish you'd come back because things are getting worse and worse. It's bad in my generation. What are my sons going to face? Or you're going to use my sons in a great way, and I pray that every day. Pray that God use our children. Will we be ashamed when Jesus comes back? Don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the present. Well, I don't want people to be ashamed, think I'm some kind of quirky, wacky person. Guess what? God calls us to be a peculiar people. We're going to be different than the world, and the world's going to call you nuts. The world's going to call you all kinds of nasty names. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because they're convicted of their sin. They see it. When they see our lives, they see light, they see truth. And we shouldn't flaunt it, well, look at me, look at how wonderful I am. Instead, we need to shine it forth so that you can have this too. You can have truth too. You can have a life that is full of peace and joy too if you come to Christ. Let your life shine. Well, some people say, well, my life won't make a difference anyway. Doesn't matter what I do. The darkness is too strong out there. I can't make a difference anyway. You know, what you're really saying is that God can't make a difference, and that's a very serious accusation. Is the arm of God shortened? But Jude 1:22, some having compassion, making a difference. You make a difference if you have compassion on people, letting your light shine. You make a difference. Or they think that it doesn't really matter. Well, it doesn't really matter how I live. You know, that's what the devil wants you to think. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14, last verse for tonight, and I'm done tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14. It doesn't really matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I live my life. It doesn't matter because people are just going to do what they're going to do anyway. A very fatalistic view of life. God's going to do what he's going to do. People are going to do what they're going to do. And it just doesn't matter. People are going to get saved if they want to get saved. If not, oh well. Sounds awful like Calvinism to me. Well, people are going to get saved if they want. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The commands of God, we're to keep them without spot, unrebukable. Keep them in a perfect way. We're to be a light. We're to keep that command. Are we really obeying what Christ told us to do? Let's be obedient servants tonight. So, well, I don't know how. Well, we've shown some things of how you can be a light. But most importantly, if you are in God's Word and you're walking with Him and you're surrendered to Him, you will naturally be a light. It's not something that you have to force out of yourself. It's going to come naturally. It's going to overflow out of your life. And that's what we do. We serve God with the overflow of what's going on in our life. We shouldn't be scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to show something to somebody. We need to be just having that coming out of our life. From walking with Him and loving Him and walking in the Spirit. And if you're not showing forth the light of Christ, won't you start today? Be a light. And you know what? If we're all being a light and we're all doing what we ought to be doing, then God's house will be full. God's house will be full. When's the last time you invited a friend? And you know what? It's our new converts who are bringing in all the friends. And they're getting saved and baptized. I've had more people saved and baptized in last year than we've had in a long time. Why? Because someone brought somebody to church. And they got saved. And they got baptized. I think we've had, let's see, what, 3-4 people? More than that? From like 2 or 3 people inviting people to church. What if we all did it? Amen? And God can do something in our church. Pastor, that's your job. Yes, I invite people all the time, but people are scared of pastors. I'm just joking. No, they really are sometimes. Like, you're a pastor. Whoa. I don't tell them I'm a pastor till later. You know? Or when they start cursing, I mention that I'm a pastor and they stop. That's a very powerful thing. I like that. You know, they're cursing and talking filthy and everything. Well, I say, oh, well, I'm a pastor. Oh, I'm sorry, pastor. I'm really sorry. You know, and then they back up. It's like, oh, you know, that's my thing. I appreciate you stopping. I appreciate that. You know, I don't excuse their sin because it's still sin. But I appreciate you stopping. And then you go in and you try and witness to them and bring them to Christ or bring them to church. Take time to do that. Are we letting our light shine tonight? Not only witnessing, but in our lifestyle before people. Don't be ashamed of what God's done for you. Don't be ashamed of the truth you found in God's Word today. Shine it forth and God will bless it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray that you would bless us invitation time. Lord, I pray tonight that we would be shown thy glorious light of thy word and be a light to all that are around us. The light of thy truth, the light of thy word. Lord, forgive us if we have not been the light that we need to be. We have been so concerned about ourselves. All we can see is self. All we can see is what's going on in our life instead of seeing what's going on in other people's lives. And Lord, when we think of self, we're in darkness, we're in a dark place, and we only see what we see. But Lord, when we look at thy word and you show forth thy light, we see others in their needs. We see the needs of other people. We see the needs of our families, of our spouses, of strangers, Lord. I pray that each and every one here tonight would submit themselves and say, Lord, I want to see the needs of other people. I want to shine forth the light that you've given me. I want to shine it forth not only in your house, but at home. And every place I go, dear Lord, I want to have a lifestyle of being a light as following your command. I don't want to be ashamed when you come back, Lord. I want to do my very best for you. I pray tonight, dear Lord, that we would be submitted to you in that. Bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.